Welcome to Extra Credit, S&P Global Ratings U.S. Public Finance Podcast with Lisa Schroyer, a biweekly series that makes municipal market analysis mobile. Listen in as Lisa highlights S&P analysts' perspective on major public finance issues.
Pumpkin, flavor of interest. Norman, Oklahoma, Common Spirit, soccer stadium, ratings of interest. Peter, thank you for co-hosting our Ratings of Interest podcast this week on Extra Credit. What can you tell me?
Lisa, leading off, Bobby Gajwani will discuss a major rating action on a dormitory project in Norman, Oklahoma. Ken Gacka will then discuss a major healthcare sector merger. And finally, Blake Yoakum will touch on an Illinois city in the news regarding its soccer stadium that has lost its tenant.
Excellent. And I expect no less from this podcast of Ratings of Interest. It's a great opportunity to learn about ratings across a variety of USPF sectors. So shall we get started?
Sure. Bobby Gajwani is a director following the education sector and is the primary analyst for Provident, Oklahoma's Cross Village Student Housing Project. Welcome, Bobby.
Hi, Peter. Thank you for having me.
So in August, we lowered the rating of Provident, Oklahoma Education Resource Inc.'s Cross Village Housing Project bonds related to student housing at Oklahoma University in Norman, Oklahoma, to double C from double B with a negative outlook. First of all, can you describe the interactions of Provident and the university?
Sure, Peter. Provident, Oklahoma is an LLC, specifically created for the purpose of owning and operating the Cross Village Student Housing Project on the University of Oklahoma's main campus in Norman. Cross Village is an apartment-style housing complex, complete with retail and a 1,000 parking space garage. It's what we would call a privatized housing project, which means that though the facility sits on the university campus and is intended for use by OU students, the university doesn't actually own the facility, nor is it the obligor on the debt.
So who is the obligor on the debt then?
Technically, the obligor on the debt is Provident, Oklahoma, which is a shell created to own this particular facility. It's not affiliated with the university in any way. Instead, it's related to a larger organization called Provident Resources Group, which does projects similar to this across the country. But on its own, Provident, Oklahoma does not generate other revenues or have any other assets other than the Cross Village facility. So only the net revenues of the project secure the bonds.
So what precipitated this most recent action?
Well, for starters, occupancy was very low, at around 25 to 30%, which was significantly lower than projected and way too low to cover operating expenses and pay debt service of nearly $15 million. On top of that, OU terminated its agreement to lease the commercial and parking space for about $6.5 million per year. So as you can imagine, with very little rental revenue from students and no revenue from the commercial space, we believe the project cannot sustain operations.
Can you share any insights about why occupancy fell so far short of the initial projections?
You know, Peter, there seemed to be a couple of reasons why occupancy was so low. For one, the rent was too high compared to other housing options for students, both on campus and off campus, actually. Secondly, the housing was only intended for upperclassmen, who, as you recall from your college days, often prefer to live off campus. So to drum up demand, Provident attempted to work with the university to develop new strategies to increase occupancy. But unfortunately, with two administration turnovers and the university facing its own financial challenges, university support for this housing project weakened. And finally, it culminated with the university pulling the plug on its agreement to lease the commercial and parking space, at which point there was no hope that the project could be revived.
Okay, so the bonds are now rated double C. What does that signify, and what are our expectations?
If you look at our rating definitions, Peter, double C means we expect default to be a virtual certainty, regardless of the time to default. Specifically for this credit, we don't expect there to be sufficient funds to make the next debt service payment coming in February, especially since there was a draw on the debt service reserve fund for the last payment in August. We didn't, however, downgrade to D, since according to our criteria, we don't consider a draw an event of default as long as debt service is paid timely and in full, which it actually was in August.
What is our rating on the university's GO? Does the Cross Village project impact our view of OU?
That's a great question, Peter, and one we have gotten a lot. And the answer is no, the Cross Village project does not impact our view of OU's rating, which we actually recently affirmed at A+ stable. The situation with Cross Village is definitely unfortunate, but it does not impact our view of OU's willingness and ability to pay their own outstanding legal obligations. That being said, we didn't expect OU's support for the project to weaken the way it did, particularly since it's on their campus and serves their students. Also, OU received $20 million up front as a ground lease payment and committed to lease the parking and commercial space for about $6.5 million per year. But unfortunately, during that time, the university experienced its own challenges with, I think, three different presidents in 3 years. And legally, given that the lease was subject to annual renewal, the university had the option to not renew the parking lease. And remember, the obligation for that housing project was not the university's to begin with, so the downgrade on Cross Village did not impact OU.
Very interesting. Thanks for sharing your insights, Bobby. Now let me hand the mic back over to you, Lisa.
Great. Thank you, Peter. Next up is Ken Gacka, and he's the analytic manager for the not-for-profit healthcare sector. Let's get right to it. So over the summer, there was an interesting rating action on a health system called Common Spirit. So Ken, first maybe, can you tell us what Common Spirit is, and then we'll get to the rating action?
Hi, Lisa. Sure. Thanks for having me. Common Spirit is a new healthcare system that was formed as part of a merger between Catholic Health Initiatives, which was rated BBB+, and Dignity Health, which was rated A. Earlier this year, their alignment received final approvals and the new system was formed. They are now one of the largest healthcare systems in the country with $30 billion of annual revenues and about $14 billion of debt outstanding.
Okay, so having been a part of Extra Credit for a while, I know that mergers are a big part of what's going on in the healthcare sector. So I also feel like that's the perfect lead-in for why there was a major rating action over here. Can you tell us about that?
That's right. When the organizations came together, we spent time with the executive leadership of Common Spirit Health, evaluated the strategy of the new system, as well as its historical and projected financial profile. We ultimately assigned our inaugural rating to Common Spirit Health at BBB+ when the system completed a $6 billion debt refinancing in the summer. Some debt of the legacy organizations remain outstanding still. So at the same time of the issuance, we revised our ratings to BBB+ stable on CHI and Dignity Health's debt outstanding in accordance with our group rating methodology criteria.
Okay, and so having listened to Martin Eric on our podcast, I know just enough to be dangerous about merger trends. And one thing that he's always said is that it has to be a match for it to work. And there's two things that I found really interesting while reading through your report. One was that there was no overlapping markets, so I'm wondering about the synergies. And then also maybe you could explain some of the emphasis in the report on meshing the cultures of the organizations.
Right. So usually with mergers, synergies are in fact one of the driving factors, not the only factor, but often a driving factor. And that can often be derived from when the organizations have overlapping markets where you have the opportunity to consolidate services. Here, they don't have that opportunity. However, there are still ample possibilities for savings for Common Spirit Health through other avenues. Specifically, we think savings will come from the elimination of duplicate overhead functions from the legacy organizations, which has already begun taking place, rebidding of reimbursement and expense contracts, and also this debt refinancing that they completed over the summer had really meaningful savings. Also, interesting, as you noted, is the importance of cultural alignment. One thing that we've seen in every case of M&A is that the leadership and staff all need to be rowing in the same direction for even the best design plans to be achieved. We think that alignment of the vision, execution, and accountability really must be ingrained in the culture of the organization to achieve success, and that is one thing that we'll certainly be observing.
Okay, and then also in reading the report, I noticed that you highlighted two different states. So could you talk about why the markets in Kentucky and Texas were particularly relevant to this credit?
It's a good question and one that we often get on why we highlight these two markets out of the 21 states that Common Spirit operates in. We chose to highlight these two because they are two of the largest markets and two that legacy CHI invested heavily in during recent years. Both get a great deal of attention also because they've historically underperformed. Common Spirit, we know, is pursuing a number of strategies to improve both of these markets, including some divestitures that are being discussed, as well as some important investments in some of the markets. We think that these are going to be important markets to watch, as they certainly have the potential for better performance. Also, we think that demonstrated success in these markets could be good signs of the new leadership team's execution capabilities.
All right, so one more sort of wrap it in a nice bow question here. What would be the key markers for success and or concerns on this rating?
You know, Lisa, I think there are strengths here with the new organization. The management team is anchored by some key executives that helped in the initial turnaround of Dignity Health when it was referred to as Catholic Healthcare West many years ago. We think there are numerous opportunities for the system to not only drive financial improvements, but also to impact the direction of healthcare at the national level. However, they aren't starting from a position of strength operationally, and we do, in fact, expect that earnings are likely going to decline from some dyssynergies and initial investments before they begin to improve. So with that, I think this team's ability to execute on its strategies will be critical to the future of the financial results and ultimately the rating.
Okay, great. Thank you, Ken. I really appreciate it. Peter, now back to you.
Okay, switching gears now to tax-back ratings. Blake Yoakum is a director in our local government group and follows Bridgeview, Illinois, a city in Cook County, about 15 miles southwest of Blake's office in the Chicago Loop. Welcome, Blake.
Thanks, Peter.
So we recently removed Bridgeview's geo bonds from CreditWatch Developing, and the rating is now BB minus stable. Can you describe how they got to this point?
Bridgeview's grabbed the headlines in the Chicagoland area and for soccer fans everywhere due to a stadium it built back in 2005 through the issuance of geo bonds. The new name for the stadium is now SeatGeek Stadium, formerly known as Toyota Park, the now former home to the Chicago Fire soccer team. After years of stadium underperformance, slow development around the stadium, and the village issuing debt to service its existing debt service, the rating was lowered to the BB category. We had placed the BB minus negative rating on CreditWatch Developing in early May, as we received reports that the Chicago Fire soccer team was in negotiations to leave Bridgeview. We removed the rating from the CreditWatch a couple months later because we believe that the memorandum of understanding between the city and the Fire brings some stability in the short run.
Okay, so how does the recent MOU bring stability to this credit?
It brings stability at the current BB minus rating level. Prior to the CreditWatch period, the outlook was negative. We think the MOU will provide marginal budgetary relief. In the past, Bridgeview had to restructure debt, and what we mean by that is reducing P&I and extending final maturities to meet debt service because of the underperforming stadium. Without this MOU agreement, we were expecting the village to continue to restructure debt almost annually, in addition to significantly raising taxes to service its debt. The stadium fund has generated around $1.5 million, that's a five-year average or so, in revenue over expenditures, which are available for transfer for debt service and general operations. Now, under the terms of this MOU, the village will receive $3 million annually through 2033.
How much GO debt does the city have, and how much of it is related to the stadium?
Well, Peter, we've made it clear that we view the debt as unsustainable. Bridgeview is a village of around 17,000 people with incomes that are well below average. The tax base is about $435 million. And after including the 2017 sales tax securitized issues, which we did not rate at $47 million or so, the village has close to $260 million in bonds outstanding, which translates to an extremely high 23% of market value and over $15,000 per capita. Actually, in our view, most of this debt burden is due to the stadium and related scoop and toss restructurings. The debt burden really has ballooned over the past decade or so. I mentioned they had roughly $260 million. Just for context, the original 2005 issue that was issued for the stadium construction was only $135.
Okay, so now the rating outlook is stable. Can you talk about the time horizon and what we'll be focusing on over that period?
Well, we're looking for a number of things. We're watching to see what the village does with an upfront $10 million payment from the agreement with the Fire. There are a lot of questions on what events the stadium will host now that the Chicago Fire is no longer a permanent tenant of the stadium and what that does to the bottom line. Will additional debt restructurings be necessary? Will they continue to raise additional revenue? And long term, we're waiting to see if they can begin to reduce their debt burden.
Interesting. Well, thanks, Blake.
Thank you.
Group, you lived up to the name, making this podcast a podcast of interest. And Peter, thank you for being our co-host of interest. And remember, credit ratings are not only a matter of principle, there's also the matter of interest.
Thanks, Lisa. So if people have any feedback, please let us know at uspffeedback@spglobal.com.
Great. And if you liked that principal and interest joke, I would just like to trademark that as a Peter Murphy. And so really, thank you for giving that to me. We were your hosts for this episode of S&P Global Ratings U.S. Public Finance Podcast. Make sure to email us and let us know your feedback. Lisa and Peter, until next time.
To subscribe to this podcast, or if you're interested in any of our written analysis, head to spratings.com/US Public Finance. This has been Extra Credit, S&P Global Ratings U.S. Public Finance Podcast with Lisa Schroyer, making municipal market analysis mobile.